From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Oh my goodness, does it feel good to be back or what? My goodness. Of course, you guys know that, of course, engineer of Current Sports, Alex Sharg, and I, your host of Current Sports, Al Martin, we were out in the Chi in Chicago at the United Center for 4 days covering all things Big Ten Tournament. And boy, oh boy, what a weekend it was. Michigan State, of course, getting all the way to the Big Ten Tourney Championship game. And what a game it was against Wisconsin. We were there. You're going to get to hear from Tom Izzo, Brandon Dawson, Denzel Valentine, Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nairn Jr. And we're going to have all things tourney talk today. Of course, right after that game, the NCAA selection show was announced. Michigan State, of course, is in the tournament as a 7th seed and will be taking on Georgia in the first round. We're going to have a lot of tourney talk. We'll have weekend winners for you. Just a jam-packed show in general, folks, as well as take your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. But hey, let's start this weekend party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this March 16th. All right, folks, let's start with the, of course, Big Ten Tourney Championship game. Nigel Hayes scored 25 points. Frank Kaminsky had it 19, and Wisconsin outscored the Michigan State Spartans 11-0 in OT on Sunday for an 80-69 victory in the Big Ten Tournament Championship game. The big comeback gave Wisconsin its third Big Ten Tourney title, and the NCAA Selection Committee awarded the Badgers with their first number one seed, giving them the top spot in the West. They will face Coastal Carolina on Friday. Michigan State has earned an NCAA bid for the 18th straight year and was named a number 7 seed in the East region. Now the Spartans will face number 10 seed Georgia on Friday at 12:40 p.m. out in Charlotte, North Carolina at Time Warner Cable Arena. The game will be televised on True TV. And Friday's game will mark the first ever meeting between Michigan State and Georgia. That should be a very intriguing game. All right, well, the Michigan Wolverines entered Selection Sunday hoping for an NIT bid and were shut out of the 32-team field. Michigan hoped for some consideration for the NIT committee, which John Beilein, head coach, said he did not lobby because it doesn't help since being owned by the NCAA. But there were obstacles. The NIT had not taken a 500 team since 2010. It protected 12 spots for mid and low conference champs who lost in their tournaments, and U of M had only one top 40 win over Oregon in November. Now, it is the first time U of M is out of postseason play dating back till 2010. All right, Central Michigan's impressive season marches on, earning a number 6 NIT seed thanks to their MAC regular season championship. They will play at number 3 seed Louisiana Tech on Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Now, Eastern Michigan, they accepted a college basketball invitational bid and will play on Wednesday at Louisiana Monroe. Western Michigan, the Broncos, will host a first-round game in the CollegeInsider.com tourney, Cleveland State will visit the Broncos on Wednesday at 7 p.m. In Oakland, the Golden Grizzlies will host a first-round game in the CIT against Eastern Illinois at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. So congrats to those schools. All right, the Basketball Coaches Association of Michigan deemed 5 seniors worthy of receiving the state's 2014-15 Miss Basketball Award. Erica Davenport, Clarkson Ford, Tania Davis, Goodrich Guard, Cabrela Godrich, who is also heading to MSU from Benton Harbor. She's also in consideration. Presley Hudson of Wayland Union and Sierra Rice of Grosse Pointe South. They all are in contention to call themselves Miss Basketball of the State of Michigan. We'll let you know what that announcement is. It should be taking place actually right now as we speak. All right, the Michigan State ice hockey team closed its regular season on Saturday night, at Yost Ice Arena in Ann Arbor in victorious fashion. downing the 19th-ranked Michigan 2-1 in the final. The Spartans got a 37-save performance from goaltender Jake Hildebrand, and Matt DeBlau's goal 29 seconds into the third period proved to be the difference maker. They lost to U of M the previous night at Mount Ice Arena. Now, the win clinched a second-place bid in the Big Ten regular season standings and a first-round bye for MSU in next week's conference tournament at Joe Louis Arena. Now, the Spartans will take the winner of the third-seeded Michigan and sixth-seeded Wisconsin game in the second of Friday's two semifinal matchups, which start at 8 p.m. And how about this? Senior Leah O'Connor became, she came through with another record-setting race and won her second career individual national title on Saturday as the Michigan State track and field squad wrapped up its 2015 indoor season at the NCAA championship meet. O'Connor was able to pull away from a loaded field of runners during the final 200 meters of the women's mile race as she clocked in with a time of 4 minutes 27 seconds, folks. Wow. That's unbelievable. That's the fastest time in NCAA track and field championships history and the second fastest overall time in the history of the NCAA. The Red Wings, they topped the Pittsburgh Penguins yesterday 5-1. And Jameis Winston, who is widely projected to be selected with the number one overall pick, does not plan to attend the 2015 NFL Draft as he currently prefers to spend that day with his family and friends in Alabama. Again, this year's draft will be held from April 30th to May 2nd. Guess what? In the beautiful city of Chicago. Well, that wraps up our current sports quick hit headliners for this March 16th, 2015. We got a hot show. Let's start it. All right, folks. Well, we just got word. Alex just buzzed in my ear. Of course, I told you that the announcement of this year's Miss Basketball Michigan Award was being announced at 1 o'clock. It is now 1:06. And the winner of that award is Tania Davis of Goodrich. How about that? I believe Alex said it. She is she's 5'3". She's the shortest player ever to win that award, Alex. Is that right?
She's definitely the shortest player on the court. I think she's one of the shortest ever.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Well, there you have it.
But she's going to Iowa next year to play.
How about that, Tania Davis? And then you look at this list, though, I mean, of five players, you know, Calabria. Oh, that last name is so hard to say. Gondrzik, I believe I got that right. Gondrzik of Benton Harbor, she's unbelievable. She will actually be playing for MSU next season. So going to be fun covering her. And speaking of the MSU women's basketball team, folks, some unfortunate news was just released approximately 12:24 p.m. So we have one extended headline for you concerning the MSU women's basketball team. Michigan State head coach Susie Merchant and the Spartans women's basketball team, they have decided to forego any postseason this year due to the welfare of the student-athletes. Susie went on to say, here's a direct quote from the email we all received, quote, "I am incredibly proud of what this year's team accomplished under such challenging circumstances. While we could have participated in postseason play, after talking with our senior student-athletes and our entire team, it truly is in our student-athletes' best interest right now to rest, recover, and then when we can begin to prepare for the future as the spring unfolds." That's a direct quote from Merchant. The Spartans concluded an injury-plagued year with a run in the quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament last week in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. After a win against in-state rival Michigan in the second round, MSU fell to top-seeded Maryland in the quarterfinals. So there you have that. The MSU women's basketball team, even though they are eligible for an NIT bid, they are saying no. We do not want to compete due to the best interest concerning our student athletes. So there you have that. We'll talk about this year for the MSU women's basketball team later on in the show. And hey, you out there listening can weigh in if you want to. If anything is on your sports noggin, if you want to talk about the Big Ten Tourney Championship game from yesterday, if you want to argue about Michigan State seeding in the NCAA tourney, or who is going to take the cake in this year's national championship tourney, huh? What do you think? You can talk about anything by just calling 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m., just like we do each and every weekday here on Current Sports. Well, I tell you what, I'm a bit sleepy. You probably can't tell because I'm always energetic, even when I'm still wiping crust out my eyes. But, you know, we got in, Alex and I, we were out in Chicago from Thursday all the way until Sunday. fun time. I mean, I tell you, I always love going to Chicago. I got a few family members there. I got a few fraternity brothers out there. And now some of my closest friends who we actually stayed with over the weekend, good friends of mine, they stay actually two blocks away from the United Center. Talk about convenient, right? But man, it was a fun time. I love the shit of Chicago. The food is great. The atmosphere is great. I love going down there. And it was truly a fun-filled time being down there for 4 days. Of course, those who tuned into Current Sports last week on Thursday and Friday, we had a best-of show, seeing as though Alex and I were out of town, bringing you coverage on WKR.org of MSU's run in the tourney. And what a run it was. I mean, you know, to sit there, you know, yesterday, more specifically, I mean, that Big Ten tourney championship game was probably... Man, it may rank up there as far as, with me, as far as the best basketball game I've ever covered as a journalist. It was that good. I mean, a back-and-forth, topsy-turvy game. Michigan State, you know, comes down, hits a bucket. Then Wisconsin comes right back down and hits a bucket. I mean, it was unbelievable. The atmosphere down there, I tell you what, it was sort of like, you know, the Kohl Center in Chicago. You know, the Wisconsin fans certainly outnumbered Spartan fans out there, but nonetheless... Spartan fans did travel well for this one. I mean, they were just, I mean, it was just a plethora of red. I mean, you probably saw it on your TV, but Spartan fans were pretty loud in United Center as well. But the atmosphere, I mean, and you know, it's pretty cool because I love covering the Big Ten tournament because the press row is right there in back of the bench. So Alex and I got the opportunity. We actually sat in back of Tom Izzo's bench for all three games, the Ohio State game, the Maryland game, and, of course, the Big Ten Tourney Championship game against Wisconsin yesterday. And, I mean, oh, my goodness. I mean, you could hear everything, just about everything that was being said amongst the players. You could hear just about everything Tom Izzo was saying to his assistant coaches and amongst himself as well. I mean, it was just it's just so unbelievable just to see basketball that up close and personal. I mean, we see it at the Breslin Center as well, but the press row isn't right near the MSU bench. Of course, the Izzone is right there. But it was a fun time, man. And, of course, Michigan State, in that dogfight against Wisconsin, at one point, they had an 11-point lead, folks. The game was in the bag. You know, and I'm sitting there, though, saying to myself, hey, we've seen Michigan State blow leads before, though. So hold on tight. This is going to be an unbelievable road. But at the same time, Michigan State played so great throughout the 3 days they did play in the Big Ten tournament that I'm sitting there, when they had that 11-point lead, I'm like, you know, I kind of thought to myself as well, you know, I kind of had mixed emotions. I'm sitting there saying, okay, we've seen Michigan State play great throughout this weekend. Maybe we're starting to see them develop that killer instinct. Maybe they step on the throat of number one seed Wisconsin and ruin their Big Ten tourney championship plans. But that didn't happen, folks. Boy, did Michigan State crumple in that game. Went to overtime. Michigan State did not score a bucket. Wisconsin totally owned Michigan State in overtime. And it was so crazy because Michigan State's coming off right after that game. And, you know, what I really thought was interesting, and, you know, Tom Izzo talked about it in his postgame presser. Tom Izzo called a timeout with about, what, like 4 seconds left on the clock when Michigan State regained possession. And, of course, the Wisconsin fans are booing because they're wondering why you're calling a timeout. The game is totally out of reach now. What is your purpose for doing this? But Tom Izzo had a great purpose for doing that, folks. And it was he wanted his team to remember what that moment felt like, what that immense disappointment coming so close to a Big Ten tourney championship, yet falling so hard. He said, hey, you know, he went to the huddle. And it's such an intriguing story. He went to the huddle and said, hey, look around, feel this energy. Remember how this moment feels because I want it to fuel you moving forward. Wow. That's what great coaches do, man. They're always in the moment. They're always in tune with how to motivate their team, even if that team is losing or has lost. So, you know, Michigan State inbounds the ball. Keenan Wetzel checks in. Michigan State, of course, they go in the line. They slap fives. I've never seen Brandon Dawson cry. Tears were flowing from his face. I've never seen Denzel Valentine cry. Tears are streaming down his face. We go in there and do post-game interviews. Matt Costello sitting down there in his locker room, and he is completely, completely distraught. He was doing interviews at first, and then, you know, I was interviewing, you know, Lou Ross, Tum Tum, Nairn Jr., and I'm like, all right, well, let's grab Costello now. And Costello just said, hey, guys, give me a sec. And he just puts both hands in right in his face and just, you know, just just is distraught. He didn't do interviews after that. So, what a moment. So, we were actually here in Chicago. Again, if you happen to miss our coverage from the Michigan State-Ohio State game or the Michigan State-Maryland game, you can catch those. They're all on WKR.org right now. But for those that didn't catch our coverage or have not gone to WKR.org this morning or last night when we posted the story, it was late last night when we posted it because we got back pretty late and didn't have internet access. But it's on there right now. But here's the audio of that report. Who you're about to hear right now is, of course, Brandon Dawson, Lou Ross, Tum Tum Nearing Jr., Denzel Valentine, who we'll get to in just a sec because, you know, he's putting a lot of the weight on his shoulders as to why they lost. And, of course, Tom Izzo. Here's my report from the United Center in Chicago, Illinois. An old school back and forth battle is the only way to describe what we witnessed here today on those rims. And the Spartans can't bask in the glory of knowing that they were the ones who cut down the nets. Now, it was the perfect tune-up for the NCAA tourney, seeing as though this team grew leaps and bounds throughout these past 3 days. But it's apparent when talking to them in the locker room afterwards that they are still thinking about what could have been.
We could have, you know, won 3 out of 4 for BJ, and I could have had 2 out of 3 years, you know, Big Ten tournament champs. But,
you know, it was, I don't know, I mean, we were so close. I think, you know, we were right there as a team, and, you know, like Coach said, we just did a great job. You know, overall, we were well prepared. You know, but I think they definitely outplayed us.
It kind of hurts even more knowing that you guys really had this one in the bag, right?
Yep, but I mean, you know, life is about learning and learning from your mistakes. And you just got to make sure we don't make the same mistakes over and over again, you know.
I told you last week the my bads and the, you know, you can have them. You just can't have them if you're trying to win championships. And we had our chances and we didn't do it.
You know, it hurts, but good thing is, though, we got NCAAs coming up and, you know, we can make a deep run in that, I feel like.
The Spartans will certainly take time to lick the wounds, but they can't sour for too long. Right after the game, they found out that they will be a 7th seed in the NCAA tourney and will be taking on Georgia. Tom Izzo actually got that news during his post-game interview.
Tom, you're the number 7th seed.
Oh, they are?
Really?
In the East region, you're going to face Georgia.
In where? Where are they going?
7th seed. Like I said, don't play those tough schedules.
Charlotte?
Go to Charlotte.
What day is that on? Don't say Thursday.
On Friday.
That's fine. I mean, I don't care. I mean, it's just surprising that. That's fine. I will just say that, you know, we played pretty tough schedule early. What was Duke? What was Kansas? What was Notre Dame?
Well, as you see, Tom wasn't too thrilled about the matchup and seeding, but this is his 18th straight NCAA tourney appearance, a feat and accomplishment that Tom calls his proudest. Well, that will wrap up our coverage here for WKAR.org right here in Chicago, Illinois at the United Center for the Big Ten Championship. I'm Al Martin for WKAR's Current Sports. Yeah, again, folks, that's our report from the United Center in Chicago. Right after, of course, Michigan State fell in the Big Ten Tourney Championship game to Wisconsin. Again, if you want the visual of that report in any of the 3 games that we reported on throughout the weekend, just simply go to WKAR.org. Alex Sharg did all the shooting. I did all the editing and reporting on it. Fantastic job, too, Alex. I want to invite now Alex, of course, to the show. He was in Chicago with me as well. The man behind the glass is what we call him. The man, the myth, the legend. Alex, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing well, but I'm trying to piece together this whole tournament bracket so far, and the overall frustration that Tom Izzo displayed after finding out that the Michigan State Spartans received the 7th seed.
Yeah, and we're certainly going to dive into that seeding because pretty sure many of you out there have thoughts on it. Alex and I certainly have thoughts on it. We talked about it a lot on the drive, the long drive back from Chicago to Lansing, Michigan. But if you want to weigh in on it, folks, again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Now, Alex, let's first dive into the game. Michigan State, of course, falls to Wisconsin in overtime. An incredible game. Again, I think it's the best college basketball game I've ever covered. And you know, it's so interesting because I got a few calls from individuals, you know, family members, and you know, a few frat brothers who were at the game yesterday, and you know, they immediately started to crucify Denzel Valentine. We all know the moment, and there were multiple mistakes because when they told me that, I said, "Oh, hold on. Let's backtrack here. Michigan State at one point in that game had a double-digit 11-point lead, folks. The game was in the bag. We're talking minutes left here. So it's not like there one moment, one play didn't lose that game. So first, I want to get that off my chest because I feel like there are a lot of people out there in Twitterverse, a lot of people out there who saw that moment. Of course, yeah, was it a mental error, complete mental error? Of course, without a doubt. But let's not kid ourselves, folks. That moment didn't lose the game for Michigan State. Now, again, mistakes. Let's talk about mistakes in this game because there's also another moment. Brandon Dawson, if you guys remember, because I feel like that the Denzel Valentine moment has been certainly blown up so much that they forget, you know, people are forgetting what led to Michigan State's demise in this game. Now, if you remember, Brandon Dawson, he mistakenly attempting to aggressively push the ball up the floor to Travis Trice with just under 3 minutes left, instead of patiently holding the ball, then Josh Gasser, of course, turned at the last minute, stole the pass, leading to the game-tying layup in that game from National Player of the Year candidate and Big Ten Player of the Year, Frank Kaminsky. And then, of course, you know, the moment with 22 seconds left, Spartans clinging on to a two-point lead when Denzel Valentine, you know, he soared pretty high to grab a loose ball, which, by the way, if you have seen the replay and have seen the photos and snapshots of that, Wisconsin player's foot was out of bounds, folks. So it shouldn't have even happened. An incredible play, incredible effort to keep that play alive, and which eventually led to the Wisconsin win. But it should have been out of bounds. But anyway, Denzel soars high, he grabs the ball. Instead of holding the ball and forcing Wisconsin to foul him, he thought he saw Brandon Dawson and whipped a poorly timed pass to Wisconsin Sam Decker. And he steals the ball. Now, the extra possession results in the game-tying free throws from Bronson Koenig. And, yeah, you saw what happened in overtime. So, it's things like that. It's moments like that, folks, that separate the good teams from the great teams. Mental blunders cannot happen against the nation's best. And, you know, I've always said, you know, when... Another thing that separates good teams from great teams is stomping on the throats of teams. When you have a lead like that in a crucial game like that, you got to close the deal. You have to seal the deal. I felt as though Michigan State got a bit comfortable. They got a bit complacent. And slowly but surely, especially with a hot streaking team, shooting streaking team like Wisconsin, who all five starters can hit the jumper and hit the three ball, they are dangerous. When you can hit that three ball, you are dangerous and you are never out of a game. And you saw what eventually happened. I want to give props, though. I think that Brandon Dawson was a man, was a complete man, folks. I have been waiting to see that Brandon Dawson dating all the way back to the Big Ten Tourney Championship game. Well, I should say the Big Ten Tourney in general, because Brandon Dawson was great all of those games last year, which, of course, Michigan State won that tourney. I thought Brandon Dawson was fantastic, and it bled into the NCAA tourney. That's the same Brandon Dawson that we saw yesterday, folks. He was assertive. He went to that patent move, that dribble back down, two dribble back down, turnaround fadeaway, which was nobody could stop it. And, you know, Brandon Dawson gets so high on that jump shot, it's tough to block. It's tough to guard. Where has that Brandon Dawson been? I mean, he was fantastic. 16 points, 7 rebounds for BJ. And then how about defensively? Brandon Dawson didn't just impact that game offensively, folks. He was fantastic on the defensive end and was a big component to why Frank Kaminsky was really a non-factor in that first half. You remember at halftime, folks, Frank Kaminsky, the National Player of the Year candidate, the Big Ten Player of the Year, he was held to just 7 points at halftime. And overall, I thought Michigan State did a very, very solid job on the superstars, quote-unquote, from OSU, Maryland, and Wisconsin. D'Angelo Russell struggled. Melo Trimble, they took him out of his game. I mean, Michigan State had a great defensive scheme that frustrated the key players for those three teams. And how about Matt Costello, who you could make an arguable case for as being the most consistent player all weekend? Matt Costello was fantastic all weekend, folks. Looking at yesterday, he had eight points, 4 rebounds. He played stellar defense all weekend. 2 blocks as well. Go back to the Maryland game. 10 points, 2 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 block. Go back to the Ohio State game. 7 points, 3 rebounds. I mean, Matt Costello was so consistent. I mean, and it just helps. That front court, man, they bought out. You got to give them credit. The front court for Michigan State showed a lot of maturity, specifically when talking about Matt Costello and Brandon Dawson. And you got to give them credit. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I believe we have a caller right now on line one. Ray, how you doing, Ray? Welcome to Current Sports.
Well, that was fabulous watching that basketball over the weekend, wasn't it?
Well, it was unbelievable, man. You know, I'm a hoops junkie, too. I love the Big Ten tourney. I love conference tourneys in college basketball.
I love competition.
Oh, yeah. It was fantastic.
I'm going to tell you, Dawson played like a monster again.
Yeah.
If he plays like that in the tournament, you can knock off Villanova.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough, yeah. But I think you may come out of there. If Dawson can play 4 or 5 games like that, they have a great chance.
Well, I've always said, Ray, I think Michigan State, this team will go as far as Brandon Dawson takes them. I've been saying it all year. He is the Energizer Bunny. He's the engine to this car. And you see, when he's in tune from the very beginning of the game, Brandon Dawson not a player who can lather himself into a rhythm mid-game. He has to be involved from tip. Once you get him going, you can't slow him down. He's like a running bull, man.
I think he can jump higher than Kovetsky, the guy from Wisconsin.
Oh, certainly. He's ridiculously. That's the thing about Brandon. That's like his best attribute.
They lost that game in overtime big time, but I'll tell you what. I'll go back to the Michigan-Northwestern game. Luckily, Northwestern got a lucky call where the ball, its foot was on the line. The same thing happened with this one. I'm not saying you wouldn't throw the ball away again because Ballant had made a couple terrible turnovers there at the end to let them tie it before they went into overtime.
Right.
But that guy's foot was definitely on the line. Why aren't they showing replays of these things and trying to overturn these calls?
Right, exactly. And, you know, it was so interesting because when we're there covering it on Press Row, Ray, we can't see the different angles that you guys have the luxury of seeing on TV. I'm pretty sure. I don't know if they showed it on the broadcast. Did they show a replay of it? I don't think the refs even reviewed it. And it just kind of just the air got let out the balloon, and you know, Wisconsin shoots those two free throws and ties the game.
These kids are so fast; they ought to go back when they can and just look at it. You know.
Well, I thought that was standard protocol when you want to know if the ball was out of bounds in the first place. I think the reason why if it was initially called as an out of bounds call and he wasn't sure, I think, you know, the whistle would have been blown and they could have went to the monitors. But the fact that the play went on, that they didn't call it right then and there, and it went in the hands of Denzel Valentine, and they let the play out. I don't know if they could have went back. I think it's when they blow that whistle.
Well, Valentine made a couple brutal turnovers there at the end.
It was, yeah. He did.
All you do is hang on the ball, you get fouled, and it's 1-1 on the other end.
Right. No, I agree, Ray.
There was no sense in throwing that ball. I know if he'd have threw it by him, it would have been a dunk down at the other end, but it doesn't make no sense when you're two up. Just keep control of the ball, make them foul you.
Right. No, but you're right. Definitely a blunder.
State uses their head. I think they can make a good run here.
Yeah, you know, and you got to be encouraged. And this is the thing, the next point I want to make. I mean, this team was so heartbroken yesterday, Ray, that how they respond off of a moment like this is going to be telling about how resilient they are. Because the other loss that I saw this year, when this team was really heartbroken, when I walked into the locker room and it was like I walked into a funeral, was when they lost to Minnesota. And we saw what happened. The Minnesota loss kind of trickled on into their next matchup. They can't let that happen now. They got to have a renewed sense of vigor, and they have to put this loss behind them, have a short memory, which is very, very tough to do, and move on into the Big Ten tourney. Because if you don't and you let that attitude linger against a team like Georgia, you will lose.
Hey, when Wisconsin beat Michigan, Beilein got a double technical. What was that all about? Was he arguing because they hadn't had any free throws at all the whole game?
Yeah, that game, I sparingly caught that game because we were traveling at the same time getting to Chicago. I sparingly caught that. But, you know, it's interesting because they're not making the, of course, the NIT now.
Yeah, the NCAA or NIT. I wonder when they're going to swallow their pride and humble themselves down there.
Yeah. Well, hey, we'll see. It's interesting now. It's going to be kind of weird not seeing Michigan play an attorney.
Bye-bye, Michigan. Get humble, and maybe you'll be all right.
Ray, care, Ray is taking shots, man. Shots fired by Ray. All right, Ray. Okay. Thanks a lot for the call, man. Thanks a lot, Ray. Oh, boy. How about that? Folks, if you want to weigh in, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Apologies to all of the Michigan fans out there. That's just Ray being Ray, all right? We got a great show in store for you guys. Again, I want to hit the first break here. When we come back, we'll dive into the seeding. Should Michigan State be a seventh seed? Should they? What do you think? 517-355-9527. We'll be right back. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday, March 16th. What are we rocking to, Al? Is it with Mariah Carey on Monday? How about that? Mariah Carey, man. She's unbelievable vocalist. How about that? All right. Well, folks, again, we're taking your calls, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's dive into the seeding now for Michigan State. Of course, Michigan State, right after that Big Ten Tourney Championship game, the NCAA selection show began. And as you heard, if you didn't, you know, during, we just played our post-game coverage of, you know, when we were in Chicago and Izzo, it was a moment there where Izzo finds out for the first time who he's going to be playing and which seed he is right in the middle of his interview. Hondo Carpenter of Spartan Nation, he said, hey, Tom, you're a seventh seed in the NCAA tourney and you're going to be playing Georgia. And he's like, oh, really? He's shocked. And there's a moment there. There's a pause there. With Tom Izzo, if you really listen to that bite, there's a pause there where Tom is like, oh, really? Huh? And he wants to say more. You can tell that he is dying to say more. You can tell that, one, he's not happy with the seventh seeding. And you can tell, two, that he's got a pretty strong reason as to why he's not healthy, not happy. But he bites his tongue. He doesn't want to get in any trouble with the NCAA or spark up any controversy. So he bites his tongue. He says, okay, hey. All right, that's fine, and that's really it. And then he wants to know what day they played. He hoped it wasn't, you know, on Thursday. Of course, they play Friday at 12:40 against Georgia, the first time that the Spartans and the Bulldogs will meet on the hardwood. How about that? So, Alex, what do you think about this seeding, man? Do you think that Michigan State, did the committee get it right? Are they a seventh seed?
So I think the committee got it right because what they do is they don't grade by style points. So technically, by the rankings, it seems like they got it right because as much as they...
What do you mean by style points?
So as much as they lost to Wisconsin by two, they still lost to Wisconsin. And the committee doesn't say, oh, well, they lost by 2 points in overtime. A loss is a loss. So technically, they got it right, but...
Well,
ideally,
I'm going to argue with you. What about
I don't think they did.
What about the wins to Maryland? What about the win to Ohio State? You know, what about those wins?
Well, that's what I'm saying is, ideally, I don't think they got it right. So I agree with you. But by definition, technically, by what goes into the rankings, they did get it right. However, the one thing I would say is that Iowa is a seven seed and is the same seed as Michigan State in another division or another region, that I don't agree with. If Iowa is seven, then Michigan State can't be seven with Iowa. That doesn't make any sense to me.
So you think that Michigan State should be ranked higher than Iowa?
I think they should be ranked higher, ideally, but technically, by the rankings, if you look at Providence and Xavier and the other sixes, they should have gotten the nod over Michigan State. Mm-hmm. So what I would say is maybe you fault that Iowa got a little higher ranking than they actually did, or that Michigan State should have gotten some style points into getting a higher ranking. Does that make sense?
Interesting. Okay, so overall, you don't think they got it right.
Right. So ideally, I don't think so, but technically they did get it right. So by
You're
the rankings...
the mess out of me here on a Monday, Alex. So yes or no, did they get it right?
In my opinion, no.
Okay, no. I think they did. I think they did. You know what? When we were having that drive back from Chicago to Lansing, we were debating about this and talking about it, and it hadn't really sunk in for me until this morning when really thinking about it. And yes, don't get me wrong. Michigan State had a phenomenal weekend. This was the best stretch of basketball that I've seen this team play all year. Wins against Maryland, so they get some redemption there. You know, Ohio State. You know, they beat Ohio State, you know, for another time. You know, it's dating back to the Valentine's Day game where Denzel Valentine hit that buzzer beater. They beat a very good Ohio State team, I think. And then Wisconsin, at one point, they had an 11-point lead over Wisconsin, a team that is a number one seed in this year's NCAA tourney. But this is the reason why I think the committee got it right, why I think that Michigan State, you know, as a seven seed. Now, at first, when I saw what was going on in Chicago, I'm like, oh, this is a five seed team right here. This team is a five seed. I don't care what you say. They will be a five seed somewhere. But you know what? Looking at this season, let's just take a look back at this year for Michigan State. Folks, they had some losses that were glaring. And especially at the beginning of the year, they were matched up against some teams and had some losses that ideally I think they should have won. They lost to Texas Southern, for goodness sake. You know, they played, you know, top dog Duke. Lost to Duke. Kansas was also ranked at the time. They lost to Kansas. Notre Dame. They lost to Notre Dame. They played some top teams in this nation, folks, that, again, had some national prowess to them, but they couldn't get the job done. I think that the committee saw Michigan State, looked at their record, looked at certain matchups at the beginning of the year and said, oh, they had losses to here and had losses there. They lost to Texas Southern. I think that Michigan State dug themselves too big of a hole early that even with the success that they had near the end of the year, it was too far so to dig out to earn them a top five seeding in the tourney.
I agree, and that's a good take. I can totally agree with that. If you look at some of the other teams that were ahead of them in the Big East, they beat good teams early on, like you said. But my biggest thing is, it's not the fact that Michigan State is ranked seven. It's who are those other seven seeds that are there with Michigan State. So Iowa, who Michigan State beat twice. It was twice, right? They beat Iowa twice.
I believe so. Yeah, they beat them on January 8th. And looking here, I think they only played Michigan State once.
Okay, well, they
beat
Iowa.
Michigan State once.
They beat Iowa when it mattered.
Yeah, it was.
And for me,
yeah, it was a close game. Well, 75.
Iowa, are you looking at Iowa's schedule right now?
Yeah, I have it up right now.
Have they beaten any quality teams early on in the season?
Well, they lost to Texas wasn't that great. Syracuse wasn't that great. I'm looking here at the losses. Iowa State, they lost to them. That was a bad loss for them.
Right.
Lost to Northern Iowa. They lost, of course, to Michigan State.
Okay.
Wisconsin, they had losses to them. A blowout loss there.
So my point is that it's not the matter of fact that where State is, but they're put in the same kind of pedestal as Iowa. And for me, that's kind of a problem because if anything, put Iowa eighth or ninth. Don't put them seventh.
Yeah.
That for me is what bothers me the most. Not who they're better than, not they should have gotten the six over Xavier or they should have got the six over Providence, but they should not be the same ranking as Iowa.
Well, I don't know, Mix. I think this year in the Big Ten, this was certainly a year that the Big Ten took a few steps back. The Big Ten wasn't great this year, Alex. Near the end of the year, I think you started to see teams click and emerge. But overall, the overall conference definitely took a few steps back. Looking here, just to list here the Big Ten teams who made the tournament. There are seven teams who made the tournament. Michigan State, Iowa, of course, as you just heard from Alex, both of those teams are seven seeds. Ohio State, they made the tournament. They are a 10 seed. Wisconsin, of course, top dog, their number one seed in the tourney. Indiana. It was very surprising that they made the tournament. They are a 10 seed. Maryland and Purdue. Maryland's a 4 seed, and Purdue is a 10 seed. So it was very interesting. So I initially predicted six teams to make the NCAA tournament because I didn't think that Indiana was going to make it. Frankly, when Indiana's name popped up, I'm like, oh my goodness, they have to have a great showing in the Big Ten tournament. Heck, I thought that Indiana would have to go to the finals in order for them to even be considered to make the NCAA tournament. But they surprised me there, so I didn't think Indy was going to be on that list, but they are. So it's very interesting, man, when you kind of break it down. But Michigan State being a seven seed now, and if you look at your tourney brackets, folks, which I do like five every single year, man. And you look at the region, you bring it up here for Michigan State. Of course, they will take on Georgia. And if let's say they beat Georgia, which is going to be definitely a tall order, they will move on to most likely play Virginia. Virginia's a 2 seed. They take on Belmont, which is a 15 seed. So you can pretty much guarantee that Michigan State, if they get past Georgia, they will be playing Virginia. a team that they played last year in the NCAA tourney. And you remember Michigan State beat Virginia in the NCAA tourney, moved on, played UConn. They got beat by UConn. UConn went on to make the, you know, to win the national championship. And how about that? Kevin Ollie's team didn't even make the tourney this year. How about that, man?
Can you believe that?
It's mind-boggling. I mean, a team that won the tourney last year, not even in this year.
But hey, I mean, look at North Carolina and Florida. Those are also teams that won or did really well and then didn't make it the previous years.
Right, exactly. I mean, and they lost a lot of pieces, Shabazz Napier being the biggest piece of that team last year. But, you know, so Michigan State now, you know, they go on to play Georgia this Friday, which I think is going to be a very entertaining game. And, you know, I tell you what, man, the Bulldogs, you know, there's many people that want to crown Michigan State right now. First off, I think this would be a mental challenge. Again, this is going to be a mental hurdle for this team to overcome the heartbreaking loss they had to Wisconsin and come out with a great outing on Friday against a very good Georgia team. Now, the Bulldogs went 11-7 in the SEC, and they earned now their first NCAA tourney bid dating back to 2011. So it's been 4 years since they've even, graced the tourney. So it's very interesting when you look at this Bulldogs team. Senior forward Marcus Thornton, he leads the balanced offense with 12.3 points and 7.2 rebounds per game. They've got size and a good defensive and rebounding numbers, folks. And, of course, they nearly upset. And I actually watched that entire game because I'm sitting there saying if there's a team that can really push Kentucky to the brink, it's going to be Georgia. They got a lot of weapons, and they certainly did. They actually had a lead with like 3 minutes left in that game. Of course, the final of that game was 72-64. Freshman Yante Mattin, he had 5.1 points. He's averaging 5.1 points and 4.3 rebounds per game of Bloomfield Hills High School. He picked Georgia over a scholarship offer, actually, from Michigan State. So that's kind of a tie that Tom Izzo will see this young man that he tried to recruit. And, you know, Tom has seen a lot of them. I mean, he's tried to recruit the big dogs like, you know, Jahil Okorfor and, you know, guys like that. And he hasn't, you know, landed those big-name recruits. So he'll see another one this Friday. But it's going to be interesting. Again, the Bulldogs, first time making the NCAA tourney since 2011. Will they win this game? If Michigan State plays like they did that first half and against Ohio State and against Maryland, and if Brandon Dawson is engaged from the very beginning of that game, I think Michigan State can win this game. I think they can, Alex. What do you think?
But very, very, very doubtedly, right? For you. I think you said that very doubtedly.
I did, didn't I?
Yeah.
I had to change up my wording before I said Michigan State will win it. Because I truly felt when I saw that bid, I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't think Michigan State can win this game, man. So for me, again, there has to be extreme circumstances here for Michigan State. Again, not extreme circumstances, consistent circumstances that you saw in the Big Ten tournament for them to really compete against Georgia and to pull off this game. But I think Vegas may pick Georgia to win this game, Alex.
You're preaching. And actually, the opening line is Michigan State 5 points, Al.
Really?
So
wow, okay.
For right now, Michigan State is the favorite.
All right. Well, there you have that, folks. What do you think? 517-355. And what is Alex? You didn't give me a prediction there. What do you think?
I actually preach on, man. I totally agree with everything you said.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing I'd add is I think they have to shoot at least 35% to win.
Mm-hmm. You know what's so remarkable, too? When you look at that, man, what game was it? Was it the Maryland game? I think it was the Maryland game. You know what's so interesting about that? Because I looked at the halftime stats. And Michigan State, you know, we harped on this. If we could rewind the tape to a current sports episode at the very beginning of the year for Michigan State, we harped on how reliant this team had been on from behind the arc. They love to shoot the three. They love to shoot the three. And then all of a sudden, you start to see, I looked at the halftime stats of the Michigan State-Maryland game, and Michigan State had only taken 4 3-pointers, yet they were shooting 54% from the field. All of their points, just the bulk of their points, were coming from right down low. Guys like Brandon Dawson, Matt Costello, even Gavin Schilling had a great game. Marvin Clark Jr. had that crazy sick dunk with the left hand. I mean, the front court has really matured and become a consistent factor now in games. So it's going to be really interesting. So again, Michigan State and Georgia, they get it on like Donkey Kong this Friday at 12:40 p.m. Alex, is there our second break? When we come back, we still got a lot to talk about, folks. We'll talk about Michigan not making the NCAA tourney. Also, if you haven't heard, Michigan State women's basketball team, even though they probably will be eligible right now, they probably will make the WNIT. They have decided to forgo any postseason play, folks, due to the best interests of their quote-unquote student-athletes. Best interest of student-athletes, quote-unquote. So we're going to talk about all of that, have weekend winners for you, and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to Current Sports right here on this beautiful Monday, March 16th. I know many of you out there have to be rejoicing and have a big smile on your face, seeing as though it seems, knock on wood, that cold Michigan weather has finally left us. How about that? Now, we are, of course, on the eve of St. Patrick's Day. So, hey, if you're going out on St. Patrick's Day, do it safely, all right? The weather should be, it should be another gorgeous day. It's about 55 degrees outside, and it was beautiful all weekend in Chicago as well, man. I'm just grateful that the weather is finally starting to break. I tell you what, though, man, let's talk about U of M. U of M, Michigan, Michigan men's basketball. If you haven't heard, the Michigan Wolverines, they entered Selection Sunday. They hoped for an NIT bid, but were shut out of the 32-team field. Now, Michigan, again, they hoped for some consideration from the NIT committee, but there were obstacles. The NIT had not taken a 500 team since 2010. It protected 12 spots for mid and low conference champs who lost in their tournaments, and U of M had only one top 40 win, and that was over Oregon, if you remember back in November. Now, it is the first time U of M is shut out of the postseason since 2010. Now, there are many U of M fans that may be looking at that and reading that and, you know, definitely had their hearts stricken yesterday that they wouldn't be watching the Maize and Blue, you know, mid to late March, compete in any type of postseason game. However, I will say, and I've done it all year, I got to give a lot of credit to John Beilein and the Michigan Wolverines to see how they were dealt lemons and made lemonade out of those lemons. Caris LeVert, done, out for the year, midway through the year. Then you got Derek Walton Jr. Derek Walton Jr. gets injured. He doesn't see the hardwood at all. Two of their prime pieces to the puzzle that makes Michigan work are gone. And, you know, I'm sitting there, man, I'm saying, oh, my goodness, you know, how in the world is Michigan going to compete, period? What do they have? And then all of a sudden, as the year went on, you see Spike Albrecht, point guard for U of M, hold down the fort. No turnovers through. I mean, he never turns the ball over. He's the prime example of a point guard, folks. And then, you know, names like Aubrey Dawkins, Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman, names that we have never heard of until the midway through the year because they started to emerge and mature and step into roles that they weren't comfortable to stepping in and handled those roles with a lot of efficiency. A lot of that has to do with Coach John Beilein and his coaching because there are a lot of coaches out there who, if they were dealt those cards, would have just folded. Point blank, period. But how about U of M? I mean, getting a win in the Big Ten tourney, showing a lot of resiliency, man. It was impressive. It was an impressive season to watch. And, of course, you know, Michigan, you know, not getting over that 500 mark, that certainly hurt their chances when it came to an NIT bid. But you better believe Derek Walton Jr. and Caris LeVert, if they come back, which they probably will, this team will be a Big Ten favorite. Guarantee it. I mean, just imagine the talent that Michigan has right now with guys like Aubrey Dawkins, Zach Irvin, and, you know, Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman, coupled with getting Derek Walton Jr. and Caris LeVert back. Oh, you better believe. I mean, I know that John Beilein hopes that he had a time machine right now and could fast forward to around November-ish of this year because this team, who knows where they would be by that time. So, yeah, hey, U of M fans out there, keep your head up. Because I believe that you still have a bright, bright future on the hardwood. You certainly do. And how about the football team? And you got, you know, Jim Harbaugh, you know, coaching your football team. It's going to be an exciting year. It's going to be an exciting 2015 season on the gridiron and the hardwood for U of M, folks. So just be patient, man. Patience is certainly a virtue. patience is certainly a virtue. Am I surprised that they didn't make the NIT? Not at all, because, again, you just heard it. I mean, they didn't get a 500. The NIT had not taken a 500 team since 2010, folks. The writing has been on the wall, and I think John Beilein knew that. He was actually watching the selection show for the NIT, and he actually texted his team and said, hey, we'll have a final team meeting, an end-of-the-season meeting on Tuesday to close things out. So he's certainly looking forward to next year, and I'm certain that many of you out there are hoping for the same. Folks, our phone lines are still open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Another team, a more local tie right here in East Lansing, Michigan, that is not going to be competing in any type of postseason play, even though I do think that this team probably would have been playing in the WNIT, and that is the MSU women's basketball team. If you missed it, of course, we talked about in our one extended headliner, Susie Merchant and her squad has decided to forego any postseason this year due to the welfare of the student athletes. I'll read Susie Merchant's quote here. Quote, I am incredibly proud of what this year's team accomplished under such challenging circumstances. While we could have participated in postseason play, after talking with our senior student athletes and our entire team, it is in our student athletes' best interest right now to rest, recover, and then we can begin to prepare for the future as the spring unfolds. Again, that's head coach of the MSU women's basketball team, Susie Merchant, again, deciding that they will not play in any postseason tourney this year due to, quote, the welfare of the student athletes. Alex, is this surprising for you, my man? Because for me, I get it. It was surprising that I got the email because I this team is such a competitive team. Susie Merchant is such a competitive individual, and I could have seen them playing in the WNIT and doing rather well. We actually saw Ariel Powers down in the Big Ten tourney in Chicago.
Makes sense why she was there. Now they're not playing. So
yeah. I guess the writing was on the wall for that. But yeah, I mean, are you surprised that they're not playing? And what's this team going to look like next year for you?
No, I'm not. I get it, but I think next year the team is going to look based on the injuries. And I think you'll see some of these freshmen that we saw this year improving, honing their skills, developing that leadership. And I think they're only going to get better from here. I mean,
Ariel Powers and Tori Jankowska. I mean, my goodness. And Jasmine Hines comes back next year as well.
Over the last 3 years, they've gotten the Miss Basketball.
Right.
Every year, over the last 3 years. So right. I think those Miss Basketballs will be pretty good.
Yeah, and they almost had one, but it was announced at 1 o'clock that, of course, Tania Davis of Goodrich, she was named Miss Basketball, but Calabria, I believe it is, Gondrizik, she was also in the running. She's a Benton Harbor guard. She is an MSU commit as well, and you get to see her on the hardwood next year. So, but very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Again, the Michigan State women's basketball team decides to forego any type of postseason play. But Susie Merchant, you have an incredible squad, and see this team. I mean, battered, and ill, all of the hurdles they had to overcome this year, they still competed, and you couldn't count them out of any single game. All right, we got 5 minutes left in the show, folks. Each and every Monday here on the show, we love to look at the weekend that was in sports and bring to you something that we call our weekend winners. Who exactly had the best weekend in sports? Here we go. It is time for weekend winners.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around.
Yes, these were the best around this weekend in sports. Now, I could sit up here and be cliche with you and look at the MSU men's basketball team, them, rallying to get to the Big Ten tourney championship game and pushing Wisconsin to the brink and all that. And I could easily say, oh, yeah, Tom Izzo and the MSU men's basketball team, they are my weekend winners. But that'd be kind of boring. We've been talking about them all hour, right? So I'm going to take a different take here. Of course, we were in Chicago for 4 days. It was fantastic time, Alex and I. We actually stayed with a good friend of mine who is like a brother to me, man. My boy Big Will and Tony, And also my boy Taylor, he's also working out there doing some great things in Chicago. They housed us over the weekend. He's doing great things. He's an engineer out in Chicago. And I tell you, it was so convenient because we were actually just two blocks away from the United Center. They stay right there in the heart of downtown Chicago. I mean, we didn't have to pay for parking, man. We just walk and trolley over to work and just come back. I mean, it was so convenient. So I want to give a shout out to Will, Tay, Tony, and even I got a chance to meet one of your good frat brothers, Adam, right?
That's right. Alex, yeah, got to give a shout out to my buddy Adam Weiner, man. He housed us in Chicago as well for a day or two. So yeah, props, the weekend winner is a hospitality.
Yeah, sure. They were definitely hospitable. And they better be, right? They're good friends of ours. They better be hospitable when we come to their hood, all right? So definitely thanks a lot, guys. Really appreciate that. Also, I got to call out this young woman. I mean, she's fantastic. Fantastic. Senior Leah O'Connor. My goodness, if you haven't heard, she came through with another record-setting race and won her second career in individual national title on Saturday as the Michigan State track and field squad wrapped up its 2015 indoor season at the NCAA championship meet. Now, O'Connor was able to pull away from a loaded field of runners during the final 200 meters of the women's mile race, and she clocked the fastest time in NCAA track and field championships history. Again, the fastest time in NCAA track and field championships history, and the second fastest overall time in the history of the NCAA. Folks, we're talking about 4 minutes and 27 seconds. What? Are you kidding me? That is insane in the membrane, as I love to say. So shout out to Leah O'Connor. Because, again, she's fantastic. Every once in a while, you come across an athlete and have the honor to cover an athlete who is just head above heels above the rest, who just has that it, and she is certainly one of them. We're going to actually try to get Leah on the show this week to talk about that amazing feat. I want to dive into her preparation as an athlete to be able to just run that efficiently. Because for me, I don't know about you guys, when I go to Planet Fitness, running is the worst part of my entire workout. I hate running, but hey, you know, some people, it's, you know, once you do it so often, it becomes like a drug. You become addicted to it. And Leah, my goodness, is she good or what? So shout out to Leah O'Connor. That is certainly a fantastic accomplishment for her. Also got to bring up some Michigan colleges, men's basketball teams that will be, again, you know, they're not wrapping up their years. Central Michigan's impressive season marches on. They earned a number 6 NIT seed thanks to their MAC MAC regular season championship. They will play at number 3 seed Louisiana Tech tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. So congrats to all the Chippewas out there. Eastern Michigan, the Eagles, they accepted a college basketball invitational bid and will play on Wednesday at Louisiana Monroe. How about the Eagles? Western Michigan, the Broncos, they will host a first-round game in the CollegeInsider.com tourney with Cleveland State visiting the Broncos on Wednesday at 7 p.m. And last but certainly not least, hey, got to call out the Golden Grizzlies, right? Oakland, OU, they will host a first-round game in the CIT against Eastern Illinois tomorrow at 7 p.m. So congratulations, folks. You got to love March Madness, I believe. The first round, the tourney starts tomorrow. So, hey, folks, fill out your brackets. Time is a ticking. You don't want to be that guy who didn't have a bracket this year, all right? Thanks to all of you out there for tuning in to today's current sports. Got to shout out the MSU hockey team, too. How about the split that they had and the win they had in Ann Arbor, huh? Getting that first round bye in the Big Ten tournament. Fantastic stuff. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have a fantastic Monday. And be easy, people.